you know Vince, and so you know, hopefully, how blessed you are to have him as your pastor. But he's been a massive blessing to me and so many as well. It's just an absolute honor and privilege to know him, but also to be able to be here with you guys this morning. So just a bit of background before I dive into scripture, what I feel God's laid on my heart for us this morning, of who I am in fact a fake American, so on paper I'm as British as the most British person you can know, but then my mouth is open and I sound weird, because I was born here, got grew up in Latin America, went to American schools, then lived in the States for a while, lived in Florida, that's what I call home. Jacksonville, I'm actually headed back there, I said this week, so I'm really excited, I haven't been back in 10 years. So this is like a mini homecoming going for a buddy's wedding. But I've been here 11 and a half years, married, have the most amazing woman, wife. It's just, God has blessed me. All y'all women are awesome, but nobody is awesome as my wife. I'm sorry. Amanda, she's been such a blessing to me. We have three awesome children, Lydia, Faith, Evelyn, Grace, and Josiah, Levi. And they actually were meant to be here this morning. They said their love and their hellos and greetings and everything, but on Monday, my eldest got invited to a birthday party this afternoon. And so the distance from getting to hear that we weren't going to be able to make it. So she was like, Dad, can I go to church at our church and go to the party? And I was like, no! But then I thought, well, you probably should. So if I said, because of that, you know, trying to honor her and her friendship, she's over there. But so one of the things that I've picked up this week, which it's been probably a couple weeks now, is this guy called Kanye West. Everybody know Kanye?
Yeah, yeah.
Any Kanye fans in the house? There's like one. Kanye West. Like, yeah, the thing is, Kanye West is self-declared, yeah, the greatest artist of all time. I mean, he's openly saying, like, there's no comparison, not like past, present, future greatest artist of all time. And Kanye West is known for all sorts of music, all sorts of albums, and he even got to the point where he started calling himself Jesus. He had built himself an empire where he was a god.
That's right.
Like, he had built himself to the point where his tour had literally this mountain that he was hauling around, and he had a guy come out dressed as Jesus, and he would have a conversation with God on the stage. People worship Kanye. And he loved it. Yeah. He lapped it up. He was there, he was like, it's all about me. But then he came to faith. And I don't know how much you know. See, this is the thing. Already some people are like, yeah, I saw he dropped that album called Jesus is King. How much of it is it publicity? How much of it is it genuine? Is it real faith? Now, I'm not God, so I can't tell you. I called Kanye to ask him the question, but he never picked up my phone call. So not much I can tell you, but I can tell you that what he is doing is living out a life that is transformed.
Amen.
Like, he's come to faith, and his life has been flipped upside down. He was slated to release this album called Yandi. I don't want to make any assumptions, but who knows where he was going with that. And that never hit the shelves because he released Jesus is King. Every interview he's done since then will revolve around the fact that he serves God and God only. Now, he's rough still. Anybody here perfectly polished? Anybody perfectly hard? He's like, no, he thought I was asking a different question. He's like, we're all rough, yeah? Like, we're even though we're being made, we're being cleaned up, we're being like, oh my gosh, renewed. He's still rough. I know I am. And he's still rough, but he's living his life. And it made me think about when I came to faith. Like, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, I didn't grow up knowing Jesus. I came to faith at university, and I was 20 years old, just turned 20. And I came to faith because of, well, I'm a fat guy, essentially, and I love food, and we're working on this. You know, Vince is like, come on, Andrew, he's an inspiration, but I can be led by my nose. And I was on campus at my university in the States, and I was hungry, there was a group of us that had been working, I was like, I smell food. I'm like, follow me. And we got to this group where they had this barbecue going, there was free burgers, free hot dogs, I was like, yes, score. But they were Christians. So I was like, right, I'm gonna grab as much food as I can, eat it real quick, and then get out before they start preaching. But we had so much food on our plates, we didn't get out before they started preaching. But then even that, they didn't really preach the gospel like I knew it in my head. I mean, not that I knew anything, but my stereotypical view was, a preacher's gonna tell me I'm gonna go to hell unless I believe. But Derek, the guy who is now one of my closest friends, ended up leading me to faith.
He just had a relationship with Jesus and he just talked about it. And he said, this is what my faith means to me. What does it mean to you? Do you have a faith? And I was communing that. And that night, I said, until 2 o'clock in the morning, just talking to Derek. Then I found myself going to that communion every week and then kind of going, hold on, you guys got church, right? You guys got like a special student and young adult thing on Tuesday. Can I come to that? Now, my plan was I'm going to sit in the back, so if it gets all weird, I can walk out. But I told people, and they're like, we went to the second row. I'm like, no! Okay! And I can tell you, I was sat like right here. It was one of those, I was sat here, and people are like raising hands, and I'm feeling really awkward. I was like, what is going on? It was the first time I experienced a full band, it was life. I was like, what is happening? And I can't tell you what Derek preached. But I can tell you that he got up afterwards and said, we're going to pray. And the band came back up, and I was stood there, and I stood up, and then I just had to sit down because I was in floods of tears. I was crying. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, oh, man. I'm a big guy, so like a big guy crying is messy. You know what I mean? And so then I did get up, and I walked down, and went to the toilet, and I was like, come on, man up, man. What's wrong? And I didn't know what it was then. But in that moment, staring at myself all red and swollen because I was crying, I knew that the God was real. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant at all. I knew that God loved me, that Jesus was for me. And then I look at my life. From that day on, I was at communion night every Wednesday. I was at Tuesday nights every Tuesday. I joined the choir every Thursday night. It was a Friday night group. I was there. Saturday was the day off, which really annoyed me. But I was there on Sunday. Monday was another group. I was there. I gave everything. And nobody once questioned it. Nobody once said to me, is your faith real? I mean, you're talking about God nonstop now. Is your faith real? Mm-hmm. But we do Kanye. And maybe they did you. Maybe if you come to faith, your life was so transformed that people were like, is that real? Or is this just a front? But I know that my life was. But then I compare my life now to then, and sometimes I go, where's that fire going? Like, think back to when you came to faith, how on fire you were. Are you still just as on fire?
Amen.
Are you still giving it all you got? Because, I mean, I'll tell you, I was in scripture every day. I was in prayer. I was at church every day. I mean, sometimes I go to sun. I go there on Saturday. Just go, can you open the doors, please? Anybody? Hello? Now, praise God, he's done work again. My life is for God. And it's for the church. And we go. But there are moments in my life even now. I'm just like, man, where's that? Lord, more of that fire. And I think part of that fire comes from being obedient.
Amen.
I think when you come to faith, you pick up on obedience and you kind of go, that's the thing. And so I'm going to dive into scripture. We're going to turn to Daniel. So if you want to turn your Bibles on or open your Bibles, we're going to go to Daniel 1. And it's a real famous, like one of those stories you probably know really well. But there's so much in it that I really want to pull out, and I feel God's telling us today. And so we're going to go into that, but before I dive in, I just want to pray. So will you just join me in praying? Is that all right? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the honor and privilege that we have to come to your word. Lord, we pray right now that as we come to your scriptures, Lord, that you would speak to us mightily, Lord. Lord, we know that you're here. We've been worshiping you and praising you. We thank you that you're here. But Lord, we pray right now that you would increase in your presence, Lord, that you would make things really crystal clear to us. Lord, I pray for the words that you give me, God, that they be of you. If they're not of you, may they not leave my mouth. And if they do manage to escape, may they not reach our ears if they're not of you. But if they're of you, Lord, may they reach us and change us. Because, Lord, it's you that we want to hear from this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So I'm going to read a big chunk. Now, some of you guys are going to be thinking, oh my goodness, how much is he going to read? We're going to read a few verses. I'm going to go 1 through 22. Daniel 1, 1 through 22. And you might be thinking, why? What? This is big. This is long. Yeah, but it's the word of God. You know what I mean? All right, if you leave with nothing else today, leave with this. Ignore what I'm saying if you want to. If I become too boring, I'm too loud, I'm too whatever, go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. That'd be offensive. But you leave with this. Yeah, so we're going to turn it says this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, much like a college degree. 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Specifically, Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you. And deal with your servants according to what you see. Wow, that's good. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. And so the steward took away their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were all in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. Yeah. I know that's a long read, and I know a lot of you guys are like, oh my goodness, seriously? But we need to hear it as a whole. You need to hear it as a whole, because there is so much in this, and we could literally do like a whole series on just this little chunk. You know, we could spend Sunday after Sunday unpacking it. But I feel that God's got a few things to point out for us. But I got to start with the question of, do you want to be set aside like the 4 of them? Do you want to stand out for your God? Do you want to be seen to be 10 times wiser and better in all things than those around you? Now some of you are thinking, yeah, I want to be 10 times better because I want to raise the work. You know, I want to be the one that my boss sees as the best. But the reality is that as we stand up for God, we see that we are to be seen 10 times wiser, 10 times better. Like, do you want that? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know, I'm quite happy the way I am. I'm alright, I'm not fussed. Now, it's a question that brings challenge. I know that. But I think God's got it for us. So what do I see that I feel God saying from this passage for us? Is that we need to stand out in the crowd that we're in. If we believe in God, if we believe that He is who He says He is, then you need to stand out above the crowd.
Amen.
So the reality is that these 4 guys come, they're captured, they're slaves. Like, the reality is they don't really have a say. You know, I mean, it's not like it's a totally free situation. They're like,
You know, so here's the situation. I know you want me to do that, but I don't want to. Like, they are to do what they're told.
But they put their head above. Then you go, hold on a second. God has told us not to eat things that are given to other gods, not to eat certain things. I don't know what God did sacrifice that to, so you know what? I'm not going to eat it. Now, he could have, right then and there, lost his life. He could have been seen as the disobedient one, the one that's getting out of line, it's done. I'll find me another one. Find me another youth, I don't want that one. Who else is going to stand with Daniel? But he stood up. We're called to stand up.
Yeah.
We're called in our situations, in our workplaces, with our friends, with our families. We're called to stand up.
Amen.
And that's rough and that's difficult because that means that you're going to shake some things up.
Yeah.
When I was in the States, one of the, I think, ridiculous traditions of the U.S. is that when you turn a certain age, as a guy, you're meant to go to a strip club. Like, that's a rite of passage. And I did that. To my shame, I did that several times with all of my friends. But it was one of our guys that never went. He never did. He never. It was not his thing. But when he turned 21, suddenly he's like, I'm going to do it. But when he was turning 21, I'd already come to faith. And at that point, I had a choice to make. Do I just go along with the crowd because it's what you do? It's what society says. It's fine. And you're going to go with it. When I put my head up, and I put my head up and I said, bro, I'll go out for the meal before, I'll meet you afterwards, we'll go dance, we'll do whatever the heck you want, but I'm just not going to go there. We rolled as a crew of eight. One of them stood by me. I lost all my other friends. Oh, you think you're too good for us now? Became a Christian, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. I lost friends. And it hurt. It was rubbish. But I stood for God wanting me to stay.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what's funny? I'm going back this week, like I said. And the one that stood by me is getting married next Saturday. He's asked me to officiate his wedding.
Amen. Amen.
And of the others, not all of them, but most of them are invited to the wedding. And most of them are now cool with me.
Amen.
In fact, most of them are asking questions about why I'm a minister. Why are you a pastor? What happened to you? Let's walk through it. I'm like, well, you know that time when you were there? That's part of the journey. But we have to be willing to stand up. Are you willing to stand up and put your head above the crowd to say, I'm not doing it? And the reason they put their head above it was because they were being obedient to what God had told them to do. They had a set of rules. They said, don't eat this stuff. And they're like, all right. And so some of you might be sitting there going, cool, so I just become a vegan and I'm sorted, right? No. You see, we have a whole bunch of things that God tells us to do. And those don't necessarily apply to us because kind of Jesus came and he fulfilled a whole bunch of the law, but he also does give us things to do. Firstly, God has spoken to every single one of you individually. He has told you to do something. Now, I don't know what that is, because I'm not you. But have you done what he's told you to do? Because we like to pick and choose. If God asks me to do something I want to do, I'm there. You want me to come in? Yes, sir! Amen! Amen! Praise you, God! Wait, you want me to go talk to the person I haven't spoken to in 10 years? But they hurt me. You want me to forgive somebody who's hurt me? You want me to go preach the gospel to people who never even heard you? Wait, you want to send me where, God?
That's right.
Nah, find somebody else. That's how we operate, but that's not obedience.
That's right.
And the thing is, we sugarcoat it. Well, God has grace to do part, since we have, I know what you did. I mean, there is God's grace. I'm not going to mess with that. But if he said something to you, if he's called you to do something, why aren't you doing it?
Amen.
He's going to provide for you. He's going to set up everything you need. Finances will be there. The strength, the courage will be there. The right words will be there. But you have to be obedient.
Amen.
But we don't like obedience, do we? We don't like obedience. Like, that's the thing. We don't. Like, who likes to be told what to do?
Even as a kid, we rebel against our parents, and we got that moment of like, as soon as I turn 18, it's my, I'm out. I'll do what I want, how I want.
That's right.
But you still got rules to follow. She's like, yes, I want. I was told when I was 18, but you still got rules. You got work. You got the law. You know how they must like speeding. Don't nobody put their hand up in that, but you know. Jesus, but that's a rule. That's a rule of the land. Yeah, but that's a rule that we've got to stick to. We don't like being obedient. The moment someone tells me to do something, like there's something in me that goes, who do you think you are? You don't own me. I mean, even when Amanda, my wife, says something, I'm like, excuse me. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I love you. No, of course I do. But we have those moments. We don't like being told what to do. But Jesus makes it really clear because there are things that he specifically says for us to do. Like, back then, there was the rule of don't do this, don't eat that, don't go there. Here, we see that Jesus gives us very specific words of what we're called to do. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says this. Now, this is a moment where people are trying to come at Jesus. They're trying to catch him out. They're trying to throw in a spanner to see, does he really know the Lord? Is he really who he says he is? And so, these Pharisees and teachers and all these people in the land are coming around him. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. If we're going to be like Daniel, if we're going to be obedient to what God has said to us, then we got to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds,
amen,
with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And we got to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now that's really easy to say, you know? Oh, we got to love God with everything. But unpack that. To love God with all of your heart means that it's emotional. It means that you're going to give emotion into it. You're going to cry, you're going to laugh. You're going to celebrate, you're going to mourn, you're going to do everything. But I know people like, not me, I don't cry. I'm tough, me. And that's men and women. I've seen some women that, don't even try me, I'm not going to give you nothing. My wife was one of them. Of the two of us, I'm the one that's like, oh! And she's like, seriously, dude, stop crying. It's just a commercial. I'm like, I know, but it's looking. She had to learn how to love God with all of her heart. Her heart is emotion. And then it says, love God with all of your soul. And for some of us, that's the easy one, because that's the spiritual. That's the, yeah, Lord, in my spirit, in my soul, come on. But then we can only take that so far sometimes, because then we start thinking, actually, part of loving God with all of your soul is actually stepping into the spiritual reality of what he has for you. There's spiritual giftings. He's going to give you the gift of teaching, of prophecy, of healing, of tongues, all those things, there's gifts coming. Some of you are like, I don't want that. It's a bit weird. That's for them over there. They're the special anointed. I don't want none of that. Scripture says, actually, as you ask, God will give.
Amen.
If you're going to love God with all your soul, you got to ask.
Amen.
And he'll give. And then you'll be like, oh, it's really whatever it is. Ask him again, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who are we going to pray for? Why are you giving me this gift? There's a reason. There's a purpose. What is it, Lord? Then Jesus says, love God with all your mind. Now, for some of us, we love that. That means I have to study the word. That means I get to dive in. And people, oh, well, this doesn't make sense from this. And why is it a country? Oh, my God, I love it. And some of us are like, I don't like studying. I failed my GCSEs. I barely scraped through. I don't want to engage my mind. But God is expecting us to love him with all of this.
Yeah.
Which means that you've got to know why you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Hey, why are you a Christian? Well, because Vince told me to. That ain't an answer. I mean, he's going to tell you the reason why he believes. And that's going to help you influence and make you figure out and think about it. Like, why do you believe in the Word of God? Because it's the Word of God. Yeah, but why do we as a church believe it's the Word of God? Says who? Oh, so you're going, I don't even know. Engage the great matter. That's harder for some of us. Some of us are just clearly academic, and some of us aren't.
The same way smallest are clearly emotional and smallest aren't. The same way smallest are clearly more open to the spiritual stuff and some of us aren't. And Jesus didn't say, some of you guys love me with all your heart, and some of you all love me with all your mind, and some of you. No, he says, love me with all of you.
That's right.
All of us, as we follow him. And then he says, love God with all your strength. Now, how many of you guys do on Sunday, everything on a Sunday, and Monday through Saturday, like, I'll be tired? Jesus will send somebody else to that person because he knows he's tired. I ain't got no more strength. That's not true. Of course you do. Until you take your last breath, you've got strength.
Amen.
It might diminish. It might get a bit weaker when you're 95 than you are when you're 20. I'm not going to argue with that, but you still got strength. Use all of it for the kingdom. That's what he's calling you to. That's what he's calling you to. All of your strength. All of your soul. All of your mind. And all of your heart. And then he goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Firstly, you got to love yourself. Now some of us might be thinking, well, I don't love myself. I don't feel that value. That comes from us not understanding who we are in Christ. Not understanding that actually Jesus took the cross. For all the crap that you don't like about yourself, that stops you from all that stuff, Jesus took the cross for you.
Amen. Excellent.
He took the cross so that all that stuff would be dealt with, that you could stand released, washed clean, free. And from there you recognize that you can love yourself. And then as you love yourself, you love your neighbor. And that's not just the people in this room. Like, yeah, you guys are neighbors. What about the rest of this village? What about the people that don't look like you, don't sound like you, don't think like you?
Amen.
What about the people that don't like you?
Amen.
You're still your neighbors.
Amen.
And you're still called to love.
Come on.
Like, it's the truth. And the thing is, we find and we always go, he's a pastor. So like if you said that he can do it because that's what you call to do. It's the pastor's job to do it. They can go love the neighbors. I'm going to stand in the background. Jesus does not say that. Says to all of you, the greatest commandment is love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
And there's challenge in that. And the reality is there's obedience in that. If we are going to live out the life that we are called to live in, we are called to be obedient.
That's right.
Oh no, there's that word I don't like again, but we gotta be obedient.
Amen.
That's what it comes down to. So the question is, do you want to love God in that way? Do you want to be obedient to God? Do you want to do what He's calling you to do?
Amen.
I got one amen. Everybody else is like, no. Sounds too difficult. I can't do it. No way.
I want to do it.
There you go. I want to do it. And that's where it starts.
That's right.
Because the thing is, if you go, I want to do it. I'm going to do it all by myself.
Nope.
No, you're going to fall. You're going to get up and you're going to crack down. Because part of loving God with all your heart and everything, part of loving your neighbor yourself is realizing that your obedience is to say, you can't do it by yourself. You gotta do it with Him. And so then He gives you the strength. He gives you the energy. He gives you the courage. He gives you the words, and He is with you. And that means that it's daily. Every moment you go, more Lord, more Lord. Every day you go, right now, what's my next step? Who am I talking to now? What am I gonna say to them? How am I gonna forgive them? Let's go, God. And with Him, all things are possible.
Amen.
Jenny, all things are possible. That addiction you've been struggling with, you can quit.
Amen.
Amen.
That person that you really hate, let's be honest, because it's hate. It's not you don't dislike them, you hate them.
That's right.
You can forgive them.
Come on. Preach it.
That person who God told you to love, you can love them. With His strength, with Him with you, you can do it.
Amen.
So the question this morning is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be like Daniel and his friends and stand up above the crowd and say, come on? Because the thing is, as we're obedient, as we step into that, do you see what happened to Daniel and his friends? They were seen to be 10 times better than they had it. They were like, man, look at this. We are smarter and wiser. And that wasn't because of them. That wasn't because they were like pumping iron in the back going, yeah, come on. Ten more. It wasn't that. It was because God blessed them.
Amen.
Because God was with them.
Yes.
Now some of y'all are thinking, great, I'll do that, God will bless me, and it's going to last and be easy. But if you know the rest of the story of Daniel and his friends, they're still in captivity. The three friends get thrown into a fiery pit, again because they're obedient, because they won't bow down to a false idol, to a false god. And so they get thrown into a fiery furnace, everybody thinks they're going to die, but they don't, because Jesus shows up.
Amen.
But put yourself in that position, like, you don't throw me where? It's cool, I'll bow. I don't want to die. Just because they're obedient doesn't mean life is easy. Just because you're obedient doesn't mean you're going to walk out of this place going, oh, it's glorious. For the rest. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. But it will be glorious because God is with you.
Amen.
You will overcome because God is with you. Because that is what God is going to do through you because He's promised it.
Yeah, that's good.
I genuinely believe that there's some of us today this morning that are like, yeah, I can sort of kind of get it up here, but it's not down here. Or I sort of kind of get it here, but it's not that. I genuinely believe that God is saying, you know what? If today you're like, I kind of want to be a Christian, but I'm not so. This is the day where you're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. God is saying He is with you, but you got to make the first move. That requires courage. It requires obedience. And there's loads more in the scriptures that you'll see and you'll recognize that obedience is going to be devotion, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be mad. But you can talk to anybody who's known Jesus and loved Jesus and is devoted to Him that life is glorious. Rough. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's easy. I love that. Because if it did, I mean, that's my verse. I know that one. That'd be memorized. Jesus said it's easy, but He didn't. So in that difficulty, in those moments, are you going to be obedient? Or are you going to run the other way? And please hear this. If you decide to, in a situation, run the other way, you can still turn around and run back.
Yeah.
Jesus will always be there, ready, with arms wide open. He's going to step closer to you when you're running back. So if you're not at a point right now where you're like, you know what, I'm done, I can't do it, or in the past you've run away, you can run back now. But it requires obedience.
Yeah.
So we're going to spend some time in prayer now, if that's okay. We're just going to, I'm going to say the band want to come up, I don't know if you guys, didn't talk to them at all about this, so like, I don't know if you got something you want to display. We're going to just pray. We're just going to pray. We're going to see what God wants to do. But I genuinely feel that maybe there's this moment of actually you know that God said something to you, and you just.